Isn't this beautiful? Like royal weddings got nothing on us. We got Pentecost. I don't know how many of you saw the wedding. I get there was a big hoopla and a lot of people watched. I did not see the royal wedding yesterday. I didn't see any of that. It's not my big thing. But it was certainly true that it had quite an impact on people all over the world, evidently. The internet, you know, the Twitter sphere was just all about the royal wedding. And I guess I will say this for it. Evidently, Bishop Michael Curry has made it cool again to be a mainline Protestant. Yes. He rocked the sermon. For those of you who don't know, Bishop Michael Curry is an Episcopalian priest from the United States who delivered the homily at the wedding yesterday. And my social media feed yesterday was filled with people who were just knocked out by the power of his sermon, just loved it. What struck me was the number of people in my social media feed who really hate Christianity but really loved Bishop Curry's sermon. That was kind of impressive. And what he did was, I mean, it's not a great surprise to us. He talked about love, right? He talked about love, which, of course, it makes sense for a wedding. But he talked about love in the sense that isn't just about weddings. He talked about love as power. He talked about love that manifests itself in power dramatically in our world, that manifests itself in a number of ways, and sometimes not always comfortably, but always powerfully. He talked about powerful love in our world, love that expresses itself in forgiveness, love that expresses itself in transformation, love that expresses itself in justice. He talked about love that is powerful. And people were thirsty for that word. It's apt that he preached on this theme because, well, he was preaching the day before Pentecost. And the theme of Pentecost is, of course, power, right? It's power. Last week we heard about how Jesus authorized us to be proclaimers of the gospel. He authorized us. He granted us the authority to declare the good news. And then he said, and you need to wait until I send you the power. And so today is about the power. It's the Holy Spirit coming to us in power. And when Jesus talks about that power in the Gospel of John, he talks about the Spirit coming to us in truth, the Spirit of truth coming to us and guiding us in all things. And a lot of times when we hear that word truth, we are pretty sure we understand what it means. But I got to tell you, honestly, I think the church has sort of missed what Jesus was actually getting at. For a good bit of our history. Because a lot of people have heard Jesus talking about the truth, how the Spirit will guide us in the truth, and we have assumed that means knowing and believing the right things. That truth is knowing the right stuff about God, knowing the right stuff about Jesus. And of course, for many, 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 many years in the church, that's been sort of a focus of confirmation ministry, right? Is teaching kids what they need to know about God. But unfortunately, we've missed a little bit of the equation that Jesus wanted us to understand about what it means to live in truth. Because the truth that Jesus is talking about is not knowing about God. It's not knowledge about God. And while it's true that knowledge can be power, in this case, it's not enough. It's not enough to know about God. But what we need in the spirit of truth is knowing God. And that's a completely different thing. Knowing God is a lot different from just knowing about God. I know about Prince Harry. I know about him. I've read about him. I don't know him because those are two different things. And so our knowledge about God is important because we should understand our faith. If we don't understand our faith, people will use it against it or we may wind up misusing it. If we don't understand our heritage and our history and what we believe, if we don't share and learn and grow, then we set ourselves up to be in trouble in terms of living faithfully. But knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. And knowing God is not grounded in doctrine or dogma. And I will confess that it has grieved me in the past that sometimes I've had confirmation students, not all, but some, who have experienced confirmation as being told simultaneously, this is what the kids feel like. They're being told what to think, and they're being told not to think. And that is not what we're about. But sometimes that's what people have heard. We're going to tell you what to think, and then we're going to tell you not to think. That is not the knowledge and the truth that Jesus calls down upon us in power. But the truth that Jesus is talking about, that the Spirit guides us in, is not a truth about knowledge and doctrine. It is the truth of relationship. This is a relational truth. It is knowing God. And it is the power of knowing God and knowing God's love and knowing what it is to be loved by God. That is the love that Bishop Curry was talking about. And that is the love that is powerful. That is the love that can be disconcerting and it can be disrupting and it can be upsetting because it pulls us right next to one another's hearts. It pulls us right next to the blessings and the wounds of every sister and brother on this earth. The love of God is powerful and sometimes distressingly so because it brings us into intimate relationship with the one who created us and with everyone else who is created with us. I was really blessed this year because I talked with both Katie and Alexis. It was very clear to me that for them, the focus in this confirmation was not what they knew about God, but it was their desire to know God. And it's their desire to live that out. And so instead of what many of you may have experienced in your own confirmation history, for those of you who don't know me, I'll confess here, I never went through confirmation because I was not a believer at that time in my life. So I never had to go through all of the really grueling, you know, recitations and memorization and stuff. We don't do that so much in the church anymore. It's important to know those things. But knowledge about God, as I said, is not very helpful if we don't know God. And so the questions that we ask the kids today, the young people today, are more about their relationship. So actually, Alexis and Katie are both going to share with you one of their responses to some of the questions I asked them to reflect on in their confirmation. So I would like to invite you both to come up to the pulpit. And I gave them each a series of questions, and then they each chose one that they would like to share with you. And as it turns out, they both happened to choose the same question. And the question is this. If you could ask God one question and get one clear answer, what would you ask? And then what do you think God would say? So Alexis is going to share her response to that.
If I could ask God one question, I would ask God why bad things happen to people. It is hard to understand when people get sick or suffer. I think God would remind me that life on earth is short compared to our life in heaven, and that God has a bigger plan for all of us. God would remind me that He is with us no matter what happens, good or bad, and to remember to have faith even when life is hard. I think God would also say that we don't live in a perfect world and that people sin. People have choices. There is a good choice and a bad choice. Sometimes people pick the bad choice. It can be hard for people to do the right thing all the time and have integrity. But God is with us through it all.
Thank you. And now Katie is going to share her response to that same question.
A question I would ask is, what else can I do for our faith journey? I have written prayers and lots more, but I'm still growing and need more ideas to grow in my faith. For this question, I honestly don't know the answer. I have thought about it day and night, and I still do not know it. Another question is, what can I have to offer? I have given my life to you, but it is not enough. I feel the need to give you more than my life to you. God, you gave me everything and more. I am so thankful for you each and every day. I think he would say to offer unending love and compassion to him and loved ones. He is my whole life, but I don't think anything I offer is a comparison to what he has done for me.
Well, amen. Can we just give a word of, how about thanksgiving to God for testimony today? Amen. Thank you. You can come back down. And what I appreciate about the words is it is testimony. It is sharing of their experience and their relationship with God. So Katie, in her response to that, I told her she gets the prize for being the first person in 30 years of ministry to ever ask to grow in faith, to ever say, I would ask God, how can I grow more in my faith? She's the first person I've ever heard that from. So that was exciting and interesting and fascinating and wonderful for me. And it's, wow, it's about that relationship, isn't it? It's about growing deeper in that relationship. And Alexis, I loved her statement because she just nailed the question so many of us have and are not sure we're allowed to ask. God, if you love us so much, why is there so much hurt? Because we don't understand this. And her response is about, again, not understanding the answer to that question, but trusting her relationship with God. She trusts the power of God's love with us. And that sends her out into the world. And both Katie and Alexis talked about their desire to carry that love into the world in a way that heals. That heals and transforms and works change. And it can be hard to do that when we continue with the stories of horror and grief and sorrow and violence and pain. And yet, God has poured out on us power, a love that is difficult to comprehend in its extent, but that does live and breathe in the hearts and the minds and the hands and the voices of our young people and our elders and everyone in between. There is love in this world that we have been given. This relationship of God with us and with us to the world, it is marked by the power of love. And that is a love that does not hide from the hard stuff and doesn't deny the importance, but that dares to face it because we believe that this love is powerful enough to be transforming. That is what this day is about. Pentecost is about power. It is about the power of God's grace and mercy poured down on us. It is about the power of truth, not the truth that says, I've got it right and you got it wrong, but the truth that says God has called us to be people together and to love one another and to be different in this world out of that knowledge. The relationship that we live in and dwell in every minute of every day that changes the way we see and do everything. This is Pentecost power. It is Pentecost power. And it is for us. It is for us. It is for now. It is for the world. It is for our life. It is the gift of God to a people who don't even understand how to use it every day. But it's still here, and it still grows. And we are still invited to testify. Thanks be to God.